Trying a little different setup tonight, but my eyes need the text a little closer, I think. So I mentioned our Torah portion this week. It's called Shalach Lecha, and it is the story of the scouts. The Israelites have left from Mount Sinai. They are headed towards the Promised Land. They're very excited. They think they're going to get there. They're near the outskirts of it. And Moses sends ahead 12 scouts to check out the land. And he charges them. He gives them a mission, questions to answer. Are the people there strong or weak? Are they few or many? Are the towns open or fortified? Is the soil rich or poor? Is the land wooded or not? They return, the scouts, and they give their report. It is a good land, they say, flowing with milk and honey. But the people there, they say, are powerful. They report that the cities are fortified and large. They say, we saw Anakites, Amalekites, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites, even the Nephilim, and they are of such great size, we could never defeat them. And then comes the line that strikes me every time that we read this portion. The scouts say, we looked like grasshoppers to ourselves. And so we must have looked to them. We look like grasshoppers to ourselves, and so we must have looked to them. Only two of the scouts, Joshua and Caleb, say, yes, but we can do it. Let's go. Joshua and Caleb are outvoted. As a matter of fact, they're even threatened with their lives because the people are so fearful based on the scouts' report. They have no faith that God will help them, and they don't want to go. And so, as punishment, God decrees none of the adults in the community are ultimately going to get to enter into the land. Instead, they're going to have to wander in the wilderness. For how long? 40 years, which in biblical speak means a long time or a generation, right? Long enough that everybody who was an adult at that time will have died out. Only Joshua and Caleb are going to be permitted to go into the land. And actually, as we know, because we've read ahead, that's exactly what happens. Now, there are any number of lessons to learn from this Torah portion. Sometimes we'll teach about the abundance and the fruitfulness of the land of Israel, or the importance of having faith in God. With teenagers, I like to use that striking line about grasshoppers as a lesson about self-confidence, right? If you look like grasshoppers to yourselves, others are going to see you that way as well. We need to have a little bit more self-confidence to present ourselves. But like most things concerning the land of Israel, this year I couldn't help but view this portion, even that one line, through the lens of the current situation in Israel, through the horrific October 7th terrorist attacks and the capture of hostages by Hamas, by the devastating war that is still raging on. And that line about grasshoppers has prompted me to think this year about two things in particular. First, we know that that list of people who the Israelites saw, the Anakites, Amalekites, Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites, and the Nephilim, that all of those are peoples who no longer exist. They have faded from history. And genealogically, we know actually that the Palestinians who live in the land of Israel and the Muslims and Arabs in the Middle East are not the descendants of those particular nations. Those people listed in the Torah are long gone. The Palestinians today are not the same people that our ancestors confronted long ago. But I think, sadly, there are some today in the Jewish community and beyond who do view all Palestinians and Arabs and Muslims in the same way that those Israelite scouts viewed the Anakites and the Nephilim, right? They'll view them as an impediment to being able to live peacefully in the land instead of as a potential partner or co-inhabitant of the land. Some folks will see the Palestinians there as a mighty force or a powerful people, as an enemy to overcome. And the thinking in that mindset then goes, we Jews, we Israelis, are small grasshoppers. They are big giants in terms of numbers or demography or size, and therefore they are to be feared or demonized or made to be other. They have to be defeated in order for us to be able to live in the land. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I know the history and I know the current situation. The Anakites and the Amalekites and others were real enemies of the Israelites. And there are stories of them in Torah, of them attacking the Israelites and needing to be fought. And there certainly are Arabs and Muslims and other nations that Israel has to fear. There are real enemies. It was only in April that Iran launched 300 drones and missiles at Israel, and they continue to plot against Israel, funding the proxy armies of Hezbollah and Hamas and the Houthis, supplying them with weapons and with training. We know, actually, Hezbollah sent 40 missiles just this week in one day from Lebanon into northern Israel, and Hamas remains a deadly and elusive foe. There are real enemies that need to be overcome. But I refuse to believe that all Palestinians, that all Arabs, that all Muslims are like that. I have to believe that just as many want to live their lives in calm and in peace and in security. We see this in many organizations that exist in Israel, in the United States and beyond. These are joint Israeli-Palestinian groups, groups working for coexistence, promoting shared society and mutual understanding. There are many programs in Israel that work to open these connections and lines of communication. As a matter of fact, this coming Monday on July 1st, there's going to be a massive rally in Tel Aviv of Israelis and Palestinians, of families of hostages, of these shared society organizations, all coming together to call for a return of the hostages, an end of the war, a resolution of the conflict, and a way to ensure a brighter future for everyone. Actually, in support of this effort in Tel Aviv on Monday, there are gatherings here in the United States on Sunday, including in New York City and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Boston, and here in DC in front of the White House at 4:30 on Sunday. If you're interested in knowing more about that, ask me and I'll give you more details. But those are folks, those are people committed to this notion, right, that there is a way of sharing society together. Not every Palestinian or Muslim is like the Anakites or the Nephilim. I have to believe, in fact, that most of them are not. We aren't grasshoppers. They aren't giants. But if we view everyone like that, or if Israel's leadership does, then, like the Israelites in the book of Numbers, we will be a generation condemned to wander without rest and without peace, and never truly reach a promised land. A second thought about grasshoppers. One of the interpretations of the sin of the scouts is that they shied away from engaging in a difficult task. Yes, entering the land would be difficult. Yes, there were obstacles to overcome, but they were unwilling to even try to tackle the big challenges. They saw themselves as too small to do anything about it, like grasshoppers. I worry that we face that same scenario of not being willing to even try to tackle the big challenge, but to see only the smallness. I've spoken before about how the current situation is at the same time both simple and complex. And there are parts of this that are extremely complicated. There are decades of history and mistrust and violence and harm. It would be easier to reach for a simple answer, to see everything as a binary choice. Either Israeli or Palestinian, right or wrong, good or evil, with us or against us. It's easier to see things simply than to wrestle with the complexity. It's easier to think about simple solutions also, to see everybody as a threat, that there must be a fight to the finish. We win, you lose, you get kicked out or we get kicked out, you get killed or we get killed. It's easier to fantasize about simple notions and simple formulas than to struggle with the challenging path to answers. And again, I'm not naive. I know the situation is huge. The Arab-Israeli conflict probably is the biggest conundrum on earth, and it has flummoxed politicians and generals and common people for decades. I know that it is dangerous, tragically so. But I refuse to believe that the only solution is the simple one of eternal warfare and fighting. I have to believe that we have the ability to devise solutions to address all of the issues. We need the will to do so. We need the partner to do it with. But I have to believe that it can be done. Those aren't easy answers, I know. But if we don't try to tackle the big issues, if we think we're too small to do it, or if we shy away from addressing the problem altogether and seek only simple but unworkable solutions, then, like the Israelites in the book of Numbers, we will be a generation, again, condemned to wander without rest and without peace and never truly reach the promised land. In our story, Joshua and Caleb alone were able to see things the right way. They were willing to address the challenges that they faced. They were willing to enter the land and deal with its inhabitants. They were spared the punishment of the other Israelites. Joshua ultimately was even rewarded with leadership of the community because they did not see themselves as only grasshoppers, falsely amplifying the fear of their foes or underestimating their own ability to tackle hard problems. Friends, we must be like Joshua. We must be like Caleb, not being fearful, but being willing to go boldly forward. We cannot view everyone as an enemy and be intimidated into thinking that we are only grasshoppers and see only the dangers around us. We cannot be afraid of addressing the challenges and trying to tackle the big issues. I pray it will not take us 40 more years for us of wandering without rest and without peace, but that we will be resolute and of good courage, as Moses charges to Joshua, and that we will find our way forward for ourselves, for our community, for our world, find our way forward to the promised land. May this be God's will, and together let us all say,